Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we got to do another Carolina-based Twitter reaction. This is from Steve Reed at AP. So this is Matt Rhule admits it's been tough figuring out how to get Matt Corral enough reps while also trying to evaluate the battle for the starting job between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. He said Corral will need to make the most of his reps. Easy solution. Cut Sam Darnold. It's not hard. This just goes back to discussions we've had about Carolina before. It goes back to discussions that we've had regarding kind of sticking with our bad prior bets. Right? When you make a bad investment, right? I actually have a ton of respect for the way the Colts did this. Right? I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not going to do the whole dump on Carson Wentz thing, but they saw a chance to make their team better. They traded what ended up being a first round pick for Carson Wentz, right? And they've been chasing the quarterback position, and it's really not their fault. Like, they had a franchise quarterback that retired in his prime. Like, that stuff doesn't, like, that sucks. Like, that's not good. You know what I mean? That's a really tough situation to sort of come back from. You had a pretty good, not necessarily a great team, but a pretty good team. Like, it's tough to sort of rebound from that. But so they went and they got Carson Wentz. And listen, it didn't work out for whatever reason. Again, I'm not here to judge. Like, I actually think he was better than people give him credit for last year. But for whatever reason, it was probably some internal stuff. It was some of that stuff. Like, they decided to just move on. Right? They decided to just move on and they trade him to Washington, right? Recoup some of the picks. It's not, you know, they still lose some stuff, right? They still lost on the pick equation of it, but they get some picks back, and right, now they're gonna move forward with Matt Ryan. They get some salary cap relief, and you know, it's onward and upward, right? They recognize their mistake. Saw it was a problem, fixed it, and put it to bed. Carolina's doing the opposite of that. Listen, I've heard people say that the addition of Baker Mayfield makes a lot of sense. I guess it depends on what you're measuring. If you are trying to win a Super Bowl, I don't think it does. If you're trying to get a quarterback that could potentially be like a long-term starter for your team, I guess that helps. But I don't know if Baker Mayfield on like a median starting quarterback type salary is going to win you anything. What I know is not going to win you anything, and you are not going to do, is you're not going to pay Sam Darnold after this year. Right? You're in for basically $19 million. And you trade up in a draft. I still can't get over you trade up in a draft for Matt Corral. You give more future picks that you could use to actually solve your quarterback problem. You give more future picks to trade up for Matt Corral with the understanding that you were also going to trade for Baker Mayfield. So that way, when it's August 1st, you wouldn't have enough snaps to go around in training camp. Like, what are you doing? Right? This is idiocy. This is an idiotic way to go about solving an issue, right? So I think it's really important for us. Again, we can look at some of the decisions that these teams make and think, like, what the hell are they doing? We're only privy to some of the knowledge. What I can be super confident in saying is that the worst quarterback in the league over the last 4 years, if his name's not Sam Darnold, Sam Darnold's right next to him. And he's not going to win you to a Super Bowl. He's not going to lead you to a Super Bowl. You made that clear when you traded for Baker Mayfield. When you took Matt Corral and were negotiating for Baker Mayfield, you knew that. So stop it. Like, there's a lower chance that there's probably a small chance that Corral actually wins the job, but you've traded future assets to because you liked him enough. Presumably you liked him with like a second round grade. And your decision is then to bury him because you're sort of dealing with the sunk cost nonsense that you have going on with Sam Darnold. This is a bad process. I've done this, And I think it's good that, like, I've recognized some flaws, and my, you know, I think I'm feeling better, right? Like, I still totally make mistakes, and I enjoy it when you guys call me out on it. Like, hey, you're making a mistake here. We need to go back and reevaluate. Let's go reevaluate, and, you know, let's see, right? And it's been super productive. One of the mistakes that I held on to forever was developmental wide receivers. Right? Hold on to Chris Conley and Sammy Coates, and, you know, I was like, I had like this fetish of wide receivers that was like super athletic and couldn't play football, right? And I would like load up on them, like I want them all, and it, you know, it got me nowhere, right? But what would I do, right? I'd be like, oh, it's like year three is definitely when this is gonna happen. Like, no, it's not. It's not. So you waited for 3 years, and, you know, so I hold out for year three thinking it's going to happen, and of course it's not. And I've now spent 3 years rostering a wide receiver that had a low probability of hitting anyways. And yeah, you just kind of figure out, like, all right, that's a problem, and like, this isn't working, and we need to move on. That's something that I've totally learned from, right? I'm much more willing to now move on, right? If it's a third round rookie pick, and that's really nothing in the grand scheme of stuff, I want to take more bets there just because I want to get like advanced look-sees, right? I want to look and see what these guys are doing, and then like, hey, if I can spin them off, I can cut them all, you know, we could sort of figure all that out, you know, trade them, whatever, right? Like that's or we hit from there, like that's great too, like it's awesome. But, you know, having some shots in the range, I think makes some sense because you can make some bets. But you have to understand what the bet is, right? You're either trading it for future, you're trading it for, you know, contending asset. Like if you've got additional thirds in season, right? I think that makes a lot of sense. Or you're trying to fix an issue right now, send a contending, you know, send a third, right? You've got thirds in your hopper on a contending team. Good. Great. That's good. That's awesome. When you have... but when you sort of take these guys, right, and you take them in the third round and you hold on to them for 2 years, right, you're doing the exact opposite of that, right? You're not helping your team. You're not helping your development, right? You're using, you should, those players should be very fungible. They should be very, you should be willing to sell upticks because you know the hit rate's low from there, right? Like all the stuff that we know, right, we should understand, like when we make a pick in that range or when we have a pick that is in that range, like, hey, if we can trade it for production value now, that's great. That's what we want to do. Or if we get a guy that really flashes from that range and sees a big uptick in valuation, right, we should cash that in because the odds that he really becomes something is pretty low. That's a lesson that I've learned through making the mistakes, sort of understanding the odds better, right? The AOD research project, the process, the writing process, the winning and losing process, right? You sort of learn from those things. Carolina, like, right? This is the, and this is like come through for me, right? Like Carolina has not learned this process. I think I've done a better job of learning it. For me, like Justin Ross, I can't hold him. Like I can't hold him. I can't like every week that I'm not sort of rostering through a running back on that depth chart is going to hurt. So I have to sort of figure out a way to cash him out. The question is like, when's the best way to do that? Right. I'm trying to get thirds. That cycle of selling hasn't really happened. Like, can I get a fourth? Right. Can I get some sort of player, right? Maybe a backup running back, something like that. Those are the things that I'm trying to do. I don't know if I can get that right now. I think that I will be able to get that at the next, like, I think at some point in the next, say, 4 months, right? Say, like, going up to the trade deadline, I think Justin Ross is a piece in a trade that can be of value. The question is it worth holding? Right, like that's kind of the internal debate that I'm having with myself. So like, as I'm looking at trade offers and that, like, do I think at some point Justin Ross can actually have more value than this, or do I need to sort of, like, just sort of cut bait now and go, and just sort of use the roster spot? I think it's a little bit of a, I don't think it's a clear a clear answer if I'm just going to cut him or not. Like, I think it's a little bit case dependent. I'm pruning my roster in other spots as well. So I do think that's one that, I've learned this lesson, right? Like, I'm already thinking that way. If not that I'm going to hold him the whole year, like, he's got long-term value. It's all right. How do I sort of get the value for him in the medium term? Right? Like, I might not get it in the short term, but if I can get it in the medium term, like, I'm okay with sort of thinking about that. Is this a big piece in a bigger deal, right? Does someone want to sell me, you know, can I use him as a piece in a bigger quarterback acquisition? Can I use him in a piece of like a bigger running back acquisition? Something like that. To someone that wants some young pieces going forward because they fall out of it in October, right? Does Justin Ross have that? But I'm not sure he's going to. And listen, if push comes to shove and it's October and like I can't make that deal work, like I'll move on, right? But this is much more come to, I'm either using him as an asset or he's not an asset, and I need to recognize the fact that he's not an asset. Sam Darnold's not an asset for Carolina. Like, he's a hindrance, right? No one's going to trade for him. You're not going to start him. You're not going to play him long term. You're not going to pay him long term. What are you doing? The only cheap guy, the only guy that can actually be cheap and be the a quarterback that probably can like take you deep. And I'm not even saying it's a super likely odds of this happening. This is a low probability event, but probably the only one that can do a situation where they go deep in the playoffs is a guy like Matt Corral, because you can really be additive around him, and he can be basically captaining the ship that's on just a really high tide, because you've got the ability to pay people around him and put weapons around him over the course of his rookie deal. That's not like, you can't do that when you're paying both Sam Darnold and Baker. Now, you're committed to paying Darnold, but just because you're committed to paying someone doesn't mean you have to like have him get in the way, right? Like, you already are paying him. Like, don't let him be a roadblock at the same time, right? Like, you made one mistake. Like, learn from the one mistake and move on. And that's the thing that I think about this, is like, really to sort of let other people learn this mistake for you, laugh at them and sort of appreciate it and move on. So yeah, so that's a couple of things that that's one thing I saw this week that I thought that I could comment on that I thought was pretty interesting. I also did, I was also interested in seeing some of what people were thinking in terms of who benefited the most from training camp so far. Larry chimed in with Kenneth Gainwell, but couldn't get all the way through Gainwell. Isaiah McKenzie was a guy, Paris Campbell, Wandell Robinson. Isaiah McKenzie is another one. Yeah, that's interesting. Tua, Julio, Treylon Burks and George Pickens are some names. Mike Davis with a crying face, which is true. Pickens and Wandell are another one there. Isaiah Pacheco with somebody. Romeo Doubs as well. So those would be some guys that we think about here on the waiver wire. I think the probably the guy that's like most common on the waiver wire there, I'd imagine, would be like Mike Davis. Isaiah McKenzie might be out there as well. I can't imagine that Paris Campbell's on a ton of waiver wires. In shorter leagues, maybe Kenneth Gainwell might be, but I wouldn't imagine that he is either. So I think really, Doubs as well. I've got some of those split rookie drafts. Like, he's going to be a guy I'm sure it's going to come up in like the third rounds and stuff here coming up in August. So just some thoughts there, that just to crowdsource some ideas, get us thinking about some different players. And a lot of these guys aren't even in the AOD sphere, so it's kind of fun to do that. So I figured I'd pass that along. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, if you didn't catch the Watson reaction, I released it yesterday, and we'll have more content here coming up over the next couple of weeks or so. So as training camp is fully underway and we get preseason games going, I'm also working on some stuff like looking at guys that are undervalued versus the market again. I like to do that in sort of cycles in the off season. So working on that project again, I'll have some of that content coming up here as well. So that'll pretty much do it here for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.